Hey guys, before we start, I just want to thank you for your support by listening. It would really help us if you subscribe, share, and leave us a rating and review. We would really appreciate it, and let's get started.
I don't know. Like, if it was an evolutionist that was speaking right now, we would no longer be human. We would probably go back and be apes. By the time we get there, we'd be like... Like, seriously, because evolutionists think that that's how it works. Hi Onyx fam, welcome to the Onyx Life, where change comes with challenge. Every episode we take you on a journey moving you from the struggle life to the Onyx life, creating happy homes, financial empires, and exploring the lighter side of life. My name is Murthel.
And I'm Rita. Today we're going to talk about interstellar space travel.
Interstellar space travel?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of a trippy topic, but right. I was on Twitter the other day and I happened to read this article by... not Chris Taylor. This is the other one.
Another type of space travel? Like, what's the different types of space travel? Like, interstellar,
There's space travel where you're just, going around the Earth.
Oh, okay, I got you.
But this is orbiting, like, orbiting. Different stars and
galaxies. Oh, wow, okay. So this is like the real space travel. This is like Star Trek space travel.
Yeah.
This is like, Star Wars space travel, not just like orbiting our Earth.
Right. And so basically, this is the title of the article.
Okay.
The interstellar dream is dying. And for me, I have always loved Star Trek. I love the concept of going to different quadrants in the galaxy to even going to... of course, different planets, different species. Mm-hmm. But also, I always wanted to watch space shows where they were going to even different galaxies.
Right.
In my mind, I have this love of space. And my family knows it. You give me some facts about how big a galaxy is, how big a planet is, how long it takes to get to somewhere or whatever, or how we only see... just a certain part of the universe, that there's so much we don't even know. Like, that kind of stuff blows my mind. And I can just sit there and read about that stuff for hours. I just love it.
That's true.
It reminds me so much of how God is amazing. Because if this is this big, I can only imagine how powerful and big God is. So it always puts my mind back to God. Now, I've always felt, though, that I always knew Star Trek was fake. Don't get me wrong. Right. I always knew it was fake. But not... I shouldn't say this. Everyone knows Star Trek is fake. But what I mean is, I always knew that the type of people that, or if there was any sort of aliens, like that whole concept of aliens, I don't particularly believe that there is things out there like that are just going to be like, hey, let's talk and we're going to have some sort of universal translator and we're all going to get along and they're all going to look humanoid. Like, that doesn't make sense, mm-hmm. It really doesn't. But that's a whole nother conversation about what's really out there. But I always thought we would at some point be able to travel to other planets, other planets, other solar systems, other galaxies and whatever, or stars. And I came across this article that the interstellar dream is dying. And it says, sending generation ships to colonize the cosmos makes less sense the more we look at it. And it's written by a guy named Chris Taylor. And mm-hmm. I was like, what? Why? And it's written in the form of like a letter to the 22nd century.
Well, you know that it's dying because didn't NASA just pull all of its projects and...
Wait.
All the funding.
Sorry, the president just said we're going to have a space force.
Oh, come on.
So, I don't know.
NASA just took all of its funding. They pulled back on every project that they had. It's dead already. I feel like it's dead. And I don't know why they did that. I mean, if you went to the moon, and I said that specifically, if you went to the moon, then it would only make sense that you would now go to Mars, that you would now go to the next level. If we got to the moon, why would we just stop all of our exploration?
Because it's ridiculously hard and it's ridiculously long to get there. So, for example, one of the things he says in this letter, it says there's no way around it. Each light year, or 6 trillion miles per light year, will take decades to cross, and there are barely any stars in a 10 light year radius.
Okay.
So 6 trillion miles per light year. And so there's barely, let's say there's a star 10 light years away.
Okay.
That's 60 trillion miles.
And how long does it take per?
Well, it would take like what? Over 1,000 years?
So we wouldn't even live long enough to even...
That's why they came up with generation ships.
Oh, okay. So generation ships,
they supposedly launch from Earth.
And then you start having babies.
And people just live and die and have babies and all that stuff until we finally get there.
So basically, we just hit 2000, the year 2000, right?
Mm-hmm.
So these generation ships would basically... Let's just say if we had launched one in the year 1000...
Mm-hmm.
And it took 1,000 years, then in 2000, if they had launched a ship in 1000, then by the time 2000 came, we would have landed somewhere. Is that what you're saying? We would have landed somewhere if we had launched a ship. So basically, if we launch a ship in 2000, which we had the technology to launch a ship in 2000, we would get there in 3000.
Okay, you know what? Let's just scratch that, because I thought I had read right. I had totally read wrong. Do you know how long it actually takes to travel one light year?
How long?
I'm seeing here. This is crazy. I'm seeing here. For example, we have a probe right now that's going fast.
Okay.
Faster than probably we could ever go.
Okay.
And that probe, it's going to take them. It's going to take it 18,449 years.
18,000.
To just go one light year.
Like, we don't even have... Civilization has not even been around for 18,000 years. Like, we don't have record.
You're a creationist, so...
Yeah, but we don't have record of civilization.
Yeah, exactly.
They still think, even in evolution...
Even if it's millions, we don't have civilizations.
Right. Yeah, right. So right. Even from an evolutionary standpoint, like, we have not even been able as the type of primates that people say we are. Let's go from that. I mean, okay. I'm a creationist.
So basically, if you were to go in the shuttle discovery... Remember the shuttle program that we used to have?
Yeah.
It would take you 37,200 years. 37,200
years
to go one light year.
That's not one generation. That is
I don't even... How many generations is that?
I don't know. Like, if it was an evolutionist that was speaking right now, we would no longer be human. We would probably go back and be apes. By the time we get there, we'd be like, like, seriously, because evolutionists think that's how it works. So, I guess, like,
no, he said we came back. You think it would go right back around? Because we supposedly came from apes.
Right. So we'd go right back around, and apes would end up there. Like, they would show up, and they'd be like,
oh,
okay,
wow,
you know, there's no bananas, so like, what's the point? You know,
well, okay, so this is why he's saying, like, this is ridiculous. We cannot send a generation ship.
Right. But weren't they saying something like a generation ship that literally, like, because there's something, because of radiation or the different types of forces that are out there, that it causes amnesia or something like that? What were you saying?
Okay, no, so let's just get into that in a second.
Okay.
So that's the first problem. Things are just
problem number one.
Far.
We would end up through the evolutionary process, since we're speaking, you know, pontificating, you know, through the evolutionary process, we'd turn up and we'd end up as apes by the time we get there. Okay.
But the problem is this too. The problem is that...
Problem number two.
We don't have this imaginary warp core. Like Star Trek. No, still problem one.
Right.
We don't have the warp core that would make us go at warp speed. You know, at warp speed, it's basically, you know, you get there in a good amount of time. Like, you know, hey, we're going warp.
Because this is not Star Trek.
This is not Star Trek.
We're not on a
set. It's not Star Wars.
We're not on a set in a movie theater.
Right.
You know.
We're not in Andromeda, Babylon 5, whatever, whatever you want to think.
Gotcha.
This is it. This is real life. It ain't happening.
Right.
Okay. Now, let's just say, though, we got our imaginary... Well, no, put it this way. Let's just say, no, let's still send some generational ship out there.
Okay.
And let's just see what happens. Apparently, another problem is that there is something called... It's the island effect. So the problem is this, is that every generation... After the first one, will noticeably get sicker and less smart.
Oh, snap.
So we would not evolve on the ship to some sort of brilliance. We would actually get like sicker and less smart.
It's almost like sort of like ancestral inbreeding. Like we'll just get stupider. We'll just get like with inbreeding, you'll just lose through the DNA process. Somehow it will just.
Because of cosmic radiation.
So cosmic radiation.
Causes not only that. Alzheimer's and cancer.
Okay. So cosmic radiation causes Alzheimer's and cancer. So we would lose our mind. So basically what they're saying is that we would turn to monkeys. The monkeys would lose their mind and they would not be able to know what's going on.
So someone would say, well, no, we'll freeze you. Because that's what they did on Alien and all these other people. Well, not freeze you. They didn't freeze you on Alien, but they put you in like a sleep.
So we get sicker. Basically what they're saying, this next theory is we would get sicker and we would sort of like get some type of amnesia or some type of
Alzheimer's.
Yeah. And we would just be wandering like an Alzheimer's patient. We'd just be wandering in space.
We would actually forget what we were doing and why we were there.
So they'd be just like, even if they approached it and even if they came close, they'd be like, who are you?
Right.
Like, I don't know who you are.
Who sent you?
I don't know. Like, what are we doing here? I don't know.
Yeah, you would have to, like, it would have to be thousands and thousands and thousands of years
of Alzheimer's, folks.
Trying to carry on the original mission and tradition.
Not only that, but you're saying that radiation is going to cause this, but wouldn't there be just the whole problem of relational inbreeding, the ancestral inbreeding? I mean, we're talking about generations and you're on one ship. That means that everyone's going to be related at some given point in time,
so
and you're just going to be like,
we would have probably some interesting looking,
right? Movies. Like that, we would end up there. We would end up there. Now let's amalgamate all the information together. We would be having like six-toed monkeys that don't know who they are or what they are.
How many toes do monkeys have? Right,
they
now?
Might have six. I don't know. Maybe there'll be octopuses. I don't know.
I don't know. I know, but this is the thing. So someone is saying, well, just go into like a sleep, and that does not work. Even bears die in hibernation. Not all bears wake up. There are inherent problems. You can't sleep 32,000 years.
Right.
Your body will degrade. The machines will degrade.
Right.
Everything will degrade.
Man.
This can't.
Folks, this ain't it, Chief. It's not going to happen.
Sorry.
Now, didn't they have a problem also with the shuttle? Like, for instance, like, you cannot go, you can't slow down, like there's no brakes on it.
Exactly.
Like,
there's another part. Let's say, let's just make sure that somehow we're able to travel that far
and
in
that
some
fast.
Way. They said that the problem would be now, once you get to whatever star or planet that you're going to, you would not really be able to decelerate. So therefore, you just crash into the atmosphere.
So many problems.
Then on the other end, okay, let's say you were able to decelerate. They're saying that there's not one planet that they have ever found that could actually support life.
Right.
And when it comes down to it, I've been reading, I told you guys already, I read up a lot about this stuff. The absolute precision that it takes to uphold life on this planet is within such a small fraction of a decimal. You can't even really count it. But that's how precise everything is. The balance of the nitrogen and the hydrogen and the everything, guys. Not only that, our electromagnetic atmosphere that protects Earth from all these cosmic waves. Listen, there's no way it's going to happen. And that saddens me because I was like, oh, one day we're going to be able to not just be here. We're going to be able to like go to all these places. Nah, it's not happening. And it saddens me. But then again, I'm okay with that. I'm okay because, you know, for me, I just feel like at some point, there is another life after all this, and there's going to be lots of space travel and stuff. That's how I look at it. But for now, I just feel like, wow, I think the main reason the person wrote this article was because they wanted people to understand that there is no planet B. That means we got to take care of the planet that we are on right now. There is no, hey, let's go on to, you know, this other solar system and let's reboot and let's start again. No, that means we have to actually care about the environment. We have to care about recycling. We have to care about pollution. We have to care about all these things.
Right. We have to take care of the one option that is there. We don't have any other options.
There's no other option. And if you ruin it for the next generation and the next generation, I mean, they're barely going to have anything viable to work with.
Right.
And they're going to, and that's what this letter actually was for. This letter was, dear 22nd century, I am sorry. I am sorry for the state of the earth that we have left it in.
Wow.
It was deep.
Because there is not another option. And a lot of times people want to believe that there is another option, but there is not. That is so sad. That is really sad. So, you know, now that's one issue that we cannot make it off of this planet to get to another sustainable place because it's too far. But then there is another theory that's out there that we can't even make it out of our own.
Okay, let's get into that.
Out of our own, like we can orbit the Earth, but we can't even make it outside of our
because
own
of
orbit.
Because
of the Van Allen
radiation belt.
Radiation belt.
So that's a
theory.
So
we can't even make it to the moon. So then, wait, hold on a second. Wait. Why are you saying we can't make it to the moon when we did make it to the moon? Okay.
Well, so there's another theory out there that we never made it to the moon, that there was a whole production that took place in a movie set to simulate right. that they went to the moon.
Now, we can make it to the moon, and we have made it beyond the moon, but just not with a human being.
Now, some
our,
people
our
say
spaceships
that,
can get across the Van Allen belt.
Yeah, but some people say, though, that you can see with the telescope, with a really strong one, footprints and tracks made by the original, you know, Apollo missions that actually went to the moon. So what do you say about that?
First of all, there's a whole lot of stuff on the moon right now that shows that there was some type of life that was there.
Oh boy, now we're going to get into that?
Well, yes, but the question now, and I was wondering why you said that you don't think that there are other life species, because I believe that there is other life species. And so,
oh, I don't believe it was another life form. No way.
Well, I believe that there's other life forms. I think that there are spiritual life forms that can take on the form
okay,
of physical life
forms.
Okay,
wait a minute. Obviously, right. I believe so in angels and
right.
demons
and they can
and
take
that,
an,
and, the life,
and they can take
but
on
I'm talking
and they can
about,
take on other forms. So there is record of there being some kind of collaboration between extraterrestrial beings meaning beings that are not human beings that are spiritual in nature that have been communicating with mankind from the very beginning of civilization. Those beings have been correlating information that you find some of that information on the moon or information and mathematical equations that are found in certain like pyramids or land structures or things like that. That they had to have had a viewpoint from above, like from the moon.
The Nazca lines.
Right.
Well, not, I don't know about from the moon, but from space.
But from at least space.
They had to have, it doesn't make sense. The Nazca lines do not, you cannot make sense of them unless you are in space.
In space,
and
exactly.
And that is ancient.
And that's ancient. And then you have record of the American Army speaking to these beings that are not human beings.
I don't know if
beings.
I want to get into all that, hun. We're going to sound crazy.
We're not saying that that's what we're saying. This is just information out there, so I don't know.
I don't want to get into that.
Okay. Well, let's just say,
go back to the Van okay. Allen with the moon.
Okay. Okay. So they say that they see, you know, some people see the footprints on the moon. Mm-hmm. There could be an explanation for those footprints, and it may not necessarily be from actual human beings. There could be so many other explanations. One of them, I'm not going to get into all of that stuff because there's people that have so many theories from extraterrestrial beings and supernatural beings and all sorts of stuff communicating. And I'm not saying that I agree with all of that. I'm just saying that there ranges a lot of information out there that ranges from extraterrestrial spiritual beings communicating for centuries with human beings. But also if a robot can go across,
Oh.
And if a robot goes across and they put footprints of the robot with footprints, all it has to do is have the robot have prints of human footprints, then that's completely capable of recreating that. But they still have not been able to disprove the Van Allen belt and its radiation effects on human beings.
The funny thing about that is
human beings cannot cross that radiation belt.
Supposedly, if you wrap the thing in some sort of like, for lack of a better word, this kind of like foil-like substance, that it deflects off the Van Allen belt. And they also said that there are parts of the Van Allen radiation belts that are thinner than others. Right. And so if you pass through it only through a certain amount of time, then you're fine. That's what they have said on the other side.
And we barely could even make it to the moon. I mean, we barely, like, that's the thing, like the technology and everything, that you're telling me that based on all of that information that they found that weakest link where the Van Allen belt was the weakest, somehow were able to have created the suit that would have matched that type of radiation. They didn't even have that certain type of technology ready for all of that.
What I find interesting too, though, is that if you look at the press conference when the original three came back, you know, Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong,
right,
and I forgot the other one, when they came back, they looked highly disturbed. They don't look happy. They don't look like people who just came in triumphant, like, yes, we made it on the moon.
Right.
They look like, why am I here? I want to get this over with.
I don't even know what I'm going to say.
And they look confused. They look upset. Right. And you could just find it on YouTube. And I felt like, okay,
wouldn't they suspicious. Be the happiest
they've ever been? That's weird.
Right. So it's just like a lot of things seem to point to the fact that we did not go to the moon. This is just a lot of information. You could check it out yourself. I'm not saying that it didn't happen. I'm just saying that there are some
There's compelling arguments on both sides.
So I'm not saying it did not happen. Neither am I saying it did happen. I'm just saying that there is enough to question either side, and they have not given enough information in order to say how they got past the Van Allen radiation belt.
But I just told you what they said.
No, but that's a very low amount of scientists. Most scientists say that you cannot. So
yeah, that's true.
So you can grab in today's society, you can grab a lot of people to tell you whatever you want to hear, and people with degrees. But when you find that most scientists would agree that we cannot pass a Van Allen belt, they are just staying silent on this topic because they're just like, well, I'm not going to get involved in this conversation because
I just want to say that noticeably we haven't gone back for any
particular... So why haven't we gone back?
Like, that's what's weird to me.
Right. We have all this technology. How come we haven't done space trips? Everybody's about making money, making lots of money off of things that we can actually do. If we can actually get there... Why haven't we made it $1 billion industry to
maybe
go take a trip to the moon?
Because it's just, you know, the moon plays such an important role in our society. Well, in our society, what am I talking about? In our survival, that outside of that, there's really nothing else there, though. So, nobody's want to build a mall.
They may not build a mall, but you could get a lot of money from a lot of people.
To do what?
To just go there so that you could just take a trip?
Yeah, well, that's true. This is what I wonder about space travel right now. Why haven't we made this like a luxury thing where you could just take a trip? Because you know why? Because it's extremely unsafe still.
It was always extremely unsafe.
Exactly.
And they did not do... It's a very strong possibility that they did not accomplish what they said they accomplished. You see, the Russians in America was just vying for all this thing way back in the day. And they just... It was sort of like a contest. Like a machismo contest.
Well,
like
when you bring up Russia, you know what I think about? They're lost astronauts. That is something that I found very interesting, that supposedly they're... Around the time where they were sending out people into space and, you know, just to even orbit the Earth and do all these tests, you know, I don't know, they didn't have a shuttle, but whatever they did with their rockets, that there were times where accidents would happen and they were not able to get their astronaut back
into orbit.
And so people supposedly heard some of these transmissions and, you know, they were able to document that there were these astronauts who were just lost out in space. And I was just like, wow, That must have been one of the most scariest feelings.
Absolutely. Just orbiting and orbiting. And then, and you can't orbit though. You can't absolutely orbit because that's not, it doesn't pass certain radiation.
Yeah, that's happening.
And so, you know, that's happening right now.
You're still protected by the Earth's magnetosphere. The magnetosphere extends really far, actually, from Earth. Very, very far. So, you know, you're going to be protected if you're in our little cocoon. It's like that article said, we are literally in like a space suburb. We are out here and we can't get anywhere that is actually outside of our, even our little bubble around
we
Earth.
We are being protected. So even if we have theories of having space generational ships that get there, we now have discovered that we can't get there, even if we did. Then we realize that we're the only planet that is seeable. Even beyond what we can see, that can actually sustain life. So that's
right.
Point number two why we're here. And then there are some strong questionable data and information that suggests that we are so protected in this bubble that we can't even get past a certain point to even get to our moon. So with all this information, it seems to suggest that we're stuck here, folks.
So this, we better take care of what we got. The moon is not even an option.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like, to me, it's a telltale sign that there is another solution to all of this. How if we are going to be sustained or saved or survive, there has to be another solution. And that's why I'm a person of faith, and that's why I believe that, you know, that the one that made this earth has a plan.
You know, I was watching something on Facebook the other day, and it was a woman. She was on this island, and I can't remember if it's somewhere in the South Pacific, somewhere. Basically, it's a place where all the islands that are in that area send all their plastic garbage, and it was literal mountains of plastic jugs, plastic bottles, plastic everything. And she's just walking through it. And it was like, as far as the eye could see.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw that.
You saw that, right? Just mountains. And where I was just like, where I thought it was some island. I can't remember which island.
So why aren't they recycling this stuff? Like, I don't understand.
I need to see where this is.
Why I can't, what I can't understand is that if we have all of this stuff that we know is dangerous to the economy, we can recycle. Like, why are they just dumping it? Why aren't we, you know, coming up with a plan to, you know, reuse certain things? And I don't know. It's just
and it's not the one in the ocean. It was actually an island where they send that stuff. You can actually walk, like, it's an island. Because I know that there's another like huge thing of garbage of plastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, plastic is literally ruining our earth. It's just crazy.
Wow.
Yet, I still drink bottled water.
But, like I said, it's recyclable. So, like, we can do
things.
As long
as we recycle, I guess, you know?
Right. We don't have to continue to create more of that waste and just dump it.
I mean, I even read that we are drinking a lot of contact lenses. Because apparently, through the filtration system and all the process of water, of sanitizing our water, apparently the particles that make contact lenses do not get fully destructible or destroyed. Destructible.
Dissolved.
What's wrong with me? I'm tired. They don't get fully destroyed or dissolved. And what happens is it stays in the water and we are drinking a ton.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's crazy what's happening. I really don't know what's going to happen for the next few generations.
Wow. Well, for one thing, I'm happy that we have a sustainable home that has been sustained for, you know, for many, many, many years. I'm happy that I can wake up in the morning and the sun is still shining, and that we have the opportunity to do some wonderful things and interact with one another. I'm glad that we are not out in space, you know, trying to make our way somewhere else. I am actually
happy for
that. Can you
imagine? I like, can't even imagine. You know, so we're going back to the topic of a generation ship. I mean, can you imagine the amount of waste you would still have to figure out how to get rid of?
Right.
And you would have to figure out how, you know, you're going
to... Well, you'd have to go organic. Like, everything would have to be organic. So you'd have to grow things in a very organic way.
But you know what makes this
and recycle
ridiculous is that we literally need the sun every day. Mm-hmm. We literally need water. How are you going to have, this is one light year, okay? How are you going to have thousands and thousands and thousands of water for thousands of years, millions of years? Because if the closest star is maybe about 10 light years away,
right?
And let's say it takes you about, because it says 37,000, let's say if you're going on a shuttle, so let's just say it took you 40,000 years to get there for mm-hmm. one light year. Well, 40,000 times 10.
Yeah, but you could use condensation and allow the water to drip from the condensation through heat and things like that, and finding natural ways to reproduce that water through steam and things like that.
For half a million years?
It has to be in its most natural sense, yes.
Well, like, first of all, we would forget what to do anyway.
Right, because we're going back to that topic of forgetting, amnesia and the monkey and all that stuff.
Unless we had a traveling electromagnetosphere, it couldn't happen.
Right, there's just so many challenges, and that's why I'm just grateful to be on this earth, on the one place, and trapped here, stuck here, because we can't go nowhere else. I am glad to be here and to be thriving and to have the opportunity to connect with. To me, my hope is in the Almighty God, the one that created this place and made it so that we have all of our needs. Now, we may be messing it up,
but yeah, we are.
I still think that if he created it one time, he can create it. He can recreate it again. And I choose to put my faith not in wonky science that, you know, says one thing one time. And it takes just as much faith to believe in some of the science, because science is science. Like, science is good, but some science is just wonky. Some science is just completely made up, and it takes just as much faith to believe in some of those theories as it is to believe in an almighty God that loves and cares about us and has a divine plan. I choose to believe in that, because guess what? Okay, both you and I are stuck. So if you're such a scientist and you believe in all that, why don't you shoot yourself past a Van Allen belt and go take your journey and your smartness over to another planet? And I'll sit here and I'll wait for my savior to come.
By the time his message comes back to us, right. Say, hey guys, I made it.
Yeah, I'll sit here and I'll wait for my creator, the one that loves me. I'll wait for him to come back and the promises that he made in scripture. Okay, if I sound weird, then you know what? You put your faith and you head out on your generational trip with all your science, and I'll stick here and stay here with my faith.
Well, we've got one other hope, and that's the black holes. If we somehow find a black hole...
You're comparing that hole to Jesus?
No, I'm not. No, I mean, even with that, like I said, you'd have to have a traveling so tell us about this black hole. No, I mean, it would just make distances shorter, but at the same time, no one has ever... First of all, black holes are another imaginary... No, well, I shouldn't say that. Nah, there's black holes, real,
yeah.
But the whole, like, wormhole, not black hole. I'm sorry, I misspoke.
Right.
Wormhole.
Yeah, because black holes are real. Yeah, I know. They're very real folk, and it's scientific.
Once you go in a black hole, you're just going to be crushed to smithereens. But, like, a wormhole is supposed to take you somewhere real fast. But the problem is nobody has ever withstood those types of forces in this imaginary wormhole. So it's just not going to happen. But I do want to say that in no way is it a comparison. But I mean, we can't even make our homes in the ocean. Okay, a long time ago, I went to Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
This is back in the 80s. I went to Disney World and they had this thing that they've torn down, which I'm sad. But it was like you go in this little booth thing and it takes you through this building. You're sitting there and you get to choose what type of home in the future you think it could look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose underwater. And it was just like this most amazing thought that you could be underwater.
Right.
And then, you know, your window, instead of the sky, your window is the ocean. And you can see fish and, you know, like a huge aquarium. But they do have
homes that are underwater, like, especially out in, you know, in Dubai and places like that.
I knew you were
going to
say Dubai, but on a massive scale where you could choose, where do you want to live in a high rise, or do you want to live underwater, or do you want to live in a suburb? Like, you know, where you have actual choices and it's not luxury. I'm just saying that there's so many things that we have not even done here.
on this earth
versus thinking about we're going to make some sort of generational ship that's going to be able to last half a million
years. Now, Atlantis, wasn't Atlantis supposedly like an underwater place, or is it Atlantis a place that sunk under the water?
Sunk.
Oh, okay. So it was like a place that, okay.
Yeah.
And you had something to do with underwater Atlantis or whatever.
Oh my goodness. This whole topic though, guys, it's just, it's really interesting. And if you allow yourself to really look at the facts, you go, you have to really understand that this is it, people. This is all we got, folks. And we really just need to do what we can. You know, I don't really have the answers, because there's a ton of things that they recommend for us to do, and I still don't think it's really going to help. I just think that the world is just degrading regardless. So I don't really think we're going to get a reboot. I hate to be like a Debbie Downer, but...
Well, we're not going to be a part of the solution.
Maybe we can
reboot.
Slow it down, though.
We can slow it down, but we're not going to be a part of the reboot. If there's going to be a reboot, it's gonna happen the same way it happened the first time, which is a creator. Mm-hmm. A creator God who made a perfect world, and for reasons that the Bible explains, things turn bad. But we trust and believe that that same creator can recreate it, and this time in a way that will allow us to sustain forever. And that's what I believe. So we can take it or leave it, but that's what I believe. And that's where I'm putting my faith and trust in.
Me too. I don't really find that there's any... I just don't see why I wouldn't personally, because I would rather live with that hope.
Right.
Versus live without it. Because the worst that could happen is I could be wrong, but the result would be the same.
Right. And frankly, I'm one of those that may not think that there is much that we can do about it, but I do still think that we have a responsibility to do everything that we can do.
While we are here.
While we are here. We are stewards of this earth, and we should be taking care of it as much as we can. And even though things look bleak and grim as far as what we can do for ourselves to stop the demise, we still have that responsibility to do what we can. And I put my faith and trust in God that, you know, he has an ultimate plan, and the one that made this world will be able to save this world in every way, shape, and form.
Wow. All right, guys. Thank you for listening to me talk about space. I love it. I'll probably be talking about it again soon. Please make sure to leave a rating and review, subscribe and share. Join us again Monday through Friday. And show notes are found on theonyxlife.com. Follow us on Twitter at Rita_Onyx and at Mitch_Onyx and at The Onyx Life.
Now go live that Onyx life, where change comes with challenge. See you next time.